Let's take our Bibles this morning, open to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2. Now we heard at the beginning of our time here at camp that God is seeking worshipers. And I believe there's an aspect of seeking in our worship. God is seeking worshipers, but if we are truly worshipers of God, we will be seekers of God. We will be looking for God, looking to God, running after God. And so this story, very familiar story that we have in Matthew, has something to say to us, I'm sure. Let's start with David this morning. David, you want to start? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1.
Been born king of the Jews. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.
Verse 3, Audrey.
When King Herod heard about this new king of the Jews, he was troubled. And all the people in Jerusalem were worried too.
When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them that Christ should be born.
In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written."
But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared.
He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him."
After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it had stopped over the place where the child was.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy.
On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped with feet of gold and leather, of incense and of myrrh.
And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Now, this morning I have a blank page for this reading. And that's because it's your turn. So I'm going to write down what you say. All right? And but before I'll give, as you think about this, I'm going to ask Brother Phil to come and my dad.
We're going to sing, Dad, all right?
We're going to sing?
Yeah, we're going to sing.
Bring your hymn book, Brother Phil. All right. You can join us on the chorus. How about this?
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star.
Star of night, star with royal beauty bright.
bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Frankincense to offer have I, incense on a deity nigh, prayer and praising all men raising,
worshiping God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the storm-cold tomb.
Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
All together.
Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God in sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, he's through the earth and skies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So who will be first? What blesses you from this story? Mom, you want to say something?
Sure. What about Herod? What did he say?
He wanted to worship.
When you find him, come back and tell me so I can come and
worship.
Oh, did he really mean that?
No.
You know, Jerusalem was only 8 miles from Bethlehem. Now, if he really wanted to find out if this was the king of the Jews or see him, what was 8 miles? Couldn't he go 8 miles? If I was king, I would have gone ahead of the wise men. But he was deceitful. And he really couldn't kill Jesus anyhow, because that wasn't in God's plan, was it?
No.
But he was false. He was very false. Sometimes, you know, we can be false too. Oh, I'm going to worship this morning. What happens? You really come to worship? Or do you have fall asleep? Another morning worship. 2 hours I have to sit there. And we sit through it. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you, but I've got eyes. And my eyes roam sometimes. I see a lot that you don't see. And I sit on a platform in church and play the organ. And I see a lot. And worship time is not always worship time for some people. So we have to be careful that we don't worship falsely. And just as if a habit, coming to sit in morning worship every day for 2 weeks. You go home and you tell somebody that, you know what I spent, how I spent my vacation? I spent 4 weeks at camp. What did you do? What are you going to tell them? You did dishes? Or you served food? Would you tell your friends that you worshiped every day? Would you be ashamed to say that? Do you think they would believe you?
You went to worship every day? What did you do? What would you tell them? How did you worship? How did you worship every day here? What did you do? Answer me. What did you do?
Sang.
I can't hear you.
Acknowledge God for who he was and then gave him the respect he deserved.
Okay. What do you do in worship?
Sing.
Hour and a half.
Sing. You open our mouths.
You open your mouth.
Thanks, Lord.
What?
Thank the Lord.
You thank the Lord? That's all?
Hearing, praise.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
You what?
Studied his word.
Studied his word.
We offer ourselves to God. Right. Thanksfulness.
Repent.
And what do you get back? What do you get back as a result of worship? What happens to you?
Conviction.
You gain anything? Or is this a waste of time?
We are transformed.
You what?
Transform. Change.
Okay.
Encouragement.
What?
Encouragement.
Encouragement.
Get encouragement.
And eager more for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is worship profitable?
Yes.
Not only to God, but to you. Mm-hmm. It does. It brings a joy. And I don't think I'll forget any of these morning worships. There's something special here at camp. I don't know just how I can say that. It's a difference than at home. Do you find that?
Yes.
It's a little bit easier to worship. Because we're just surrounded by it all day. Morning, afternoon prayer meetings, evening services. There's no end to it, right? You like it?
Yes, of course.
For 2 weeks, okay, but no, not for it.
What are you going to do in heaven?
So, well,
you better get prepared.
So let's be true worshipers.
Amen.
Don't say, I'm going to worship him, and then you come and you don't worship him. You'll be like Herod.
All right, someone else. Yes.
As we sang in the hymn, how the gifts mirrored Christ's duties that he was going to fulfill on earth, that they must have been prodigies of prophecy and understood what was going to happen. Some people believe that since they said that they saw the star in the east, that meant that they were traveling west because they were in the east when they saw the star. And it's believed that the Magi was started by Daniel, and that's how they knew to look for the star and so on. That's what's believed, but they still understood what Jesus was going to do, which is interesting.
Amen.
I wonder, going along with what Sister Martha said, if people in Jerusalem, they knew about the prophecy and they saw the Magi, why did you didn't go with them?
Mm-hmm.
If it was only 8 miles, you know, because they knew about the prophecy and they knew what it was, the king who was going to save Israel. So it was for the whole city to go with the Magi, and nobody went.
No.
To what he said about why didn't the rest of the people go? Jesus, when he was weeping over Jerusalem, said that that's why they were in trouble, because they missed they didn't see the time of their visitation. A lot of the people throughout his whole ministry never recognized what was happening in front of them. Everything that they had been waiting for was being fulfilled, and they just missed it. They had apathy. They wanted to care only about the present and what they were doing, and nobody saw it. Even how great his miracles were, and they just missed it.
I noticed when you talk to unbelievers, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay, you can go ahead.
No, when you talk to, like, when I'm with my relatives, and they're all Catholic, and they're all basically, I won't judge them, but most of them are non-believers. When I sit there and I talk about God, they really have no clue what I'm talking about. When you talk to unbelievers, you can say it's oranges, and they hear apples. They're blinded. They don't know what you're talking about. Because I went to church and had a great time. They look at you like, really? Like, but they have no clue. I mean, they have no clue. I mean, they're basically clueless. So when you talk to them, the reason why maybe they didn't go to, you know, the king didn't go, because the non-believers just don't see it. Maybe after a while, a seed is planted, but basically they, what are my relatives and we do this and that, they think I'm from Mars.
Verse 4, when it says, when he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Mm-hmm. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, but this is what the prophet has written. He goes on to do the prophecy. What just stuck out to me was he asked them where the Messiah was to be born.
Mm-hmm.
So he acknowledged that, yes, he was the Messiah. There had been prophecies for many years of the Messiah, and he knew that all the Jewish people, they had to study, you know, what these scriptures said, mm-hmm, and they knew the prophecy and how powerful it would be. So I would think that Herod, right?
Yeah.
He would have known about the Messiah. So when we say, why did he not go? It's just so, like, so apparent to us how prevalent and how early the enemy was working in all of this. But it just seemed that the Messiah was still greater than all that. Herod, you know, I just got this thought that, you know, maybe Herod knew who the Messiah was and wasn't going to go directly, you know, to do the dirty work himself, you know. I just felt like that's just how the enemy works. Sometimes he does the dirty work himself, but sometimes other people do it for him. So I just feel like that spoke to me that, you know, he acknowledged that the Messiah was born. It wasn't just a regular child. If it was a regular child, he would have no need. But the threat of a king, you know, greater than all kings being born, and the Messiah at that, a great name above all, you know, that could have, you know, put him at a very bad stance.
Verse 11 says that, going into the house, they saw the child, his Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. As we heard about last night, becoming prostrate. I like the picture of fell down, because it's like, as soon as they saw him, they hit the floor. And then also it says they saw the child. And I think, even now, but especially in their culture, children were unimportant, and for these men who were maybe important, to fall down before a child is a huge thing, a huge act of submission. They just got low. They realized that they were in the presence of God, and they got low. And I think, how do I come in? You know, now with the new covenant, we can come into the presence of God. How do I come in? Does my heart fall down on the floor before Him? And so I like the picture of these, you know, grown, educated men just falling down before a child. And I want my heart to be like that whenever I come into God's presence.
He also presented costly gifts. It wasn't just some little gift they gave you, but they were very costly, and it was a sacrifice to give those good gifts. These were godly men too, because they were warned of God in a dream to go a different way. So these weren't just ordinary run-of-the-mill people that didn't know God, but they had a walk with God.
Alfred said when they came to the house and they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Sometimes, you know, when you go through different things, you know God is with you, underlying, but maybe you don't see the evidence right away. And you believe you're doing the right thing, and you believe that you're going the right way, but there's no evidence of it. And then you see a little thing that God gives you, a little miracle, or a word from the Bible, and then even though you don't see the full thing, you're filled with joy. And that's like my life.
Amen.
Again, we're reminded that the ones who seek can will find him.
Seems for a time the star maybe wasn't visible. You get that sense? I never really considered that before, but because they ended up at Jerusalem, and they thought maybe they were in the right place. And so where is he that's born King of the Jews? You know, we've come to the capital, this is where the king is. But then they were sent, and then it seems again that when they started out again, the star appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And it led them. It's an interesting thing how that all happened. I think years ago, I don't know if they still have this, but if you went to the New York Planetarium,
mm-hmm.
there was at Christmas time, they would show you how the stars, or how they believed the stars lined up, and what this star was, and how it came to be, and then how it moved. You know, how can a star move? But it seemed to lead them. Now I know it was God's doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that, you know, I have to go to the planetarium to understand that, but but it makes, you know, it's you see God's hand in all of this, and because this people was seeking, you know, God led them.
Mm-hmm.
To the Christ. And so that's why I think in our worship we want to find Christ. Our worship is focused upon Him, and we need to find Him in order to worship. And so that seeking is involved. Putting aside other things, you know, they had to put aside whatever they were doing for 3 months or however long it took them. And this was the most important thing. And so there's many lessons for us, but Dad wanted to say something. Come, Dad.
In the 19th Psalm, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." That's something that enables us to understand the greatness of God. How great is our God? And we ought to entertain that perhaps more than we do. He's the greatest one. How great He is. But it doesn't suffice, you know, to just entertain this thought of His greatness and that He is our Maker. We need something more than that. We need the revelation that we have in the Scriptures. We need the Word of God. You see, like my son said, it put this thought in my mind. The birth of Jesus is on this wise, as it has been written. Now I have to look to the Word, not to the star now, I'm looking to the Word of God. And that speaks of His birth and where He would be born. To me, the outward things that I see that show me the wonder of our God, that's good, but I have to get into the Scriptures where there is that final and lasting revelation of who He is. And that being so, I think we need the admonition that Herod gave to them. go and search how?
Diligently.
You have to apply yourself a little bit. Diligently. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do I diligently seek Him? Do I sit alone over the Word of God and I want to know more about Him? More about Him. More about Jesus. Is there something more that I can learn of Him? I think the woman who wrote More Love to Thee, O Christ, was a minister's daughter. And she attained the age of 20 and yet had not committed herself to the Lord. But she said, it wouldn't be right for me just to write Him off if I didn't endeavor to learn all that I can about Him. Everything that is written concerning Him in the Scriptures. So let me search the Scriptures and see what I can learn of Jesus in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures, He said to the Pharisees, you think you have eternal life. Search the Scriptures. You think by so doing you have eternal life, but you don't come to me. They didn't find Jesus in the Scriptures. Diligent. You know, I was thinking when we were speaking of trinities. There is a trinity that's for us. There is a trinity that is against us. There's a trinity within us that is contrary to our best interests. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're for us. The world, the flesh, and the devil are seeking to destroy us. But within me, there is, I don't know whether I coin a word, obstinacy? Is that
obstinacy?
Obstinacy. Obstinate is good enough, I guess. There is a rebellion within us. Do I have to surrender everything? Do I really? Can I do that? Can I do, you know? I think I know what's good for me. So, and there is that resistance. It's in us, you see. We are of a rebellious spirit. And that is his complaint regarding Israel, these people. And that is what caused Moses, was it Moses, yes, to lose land of Canaan, because, you know, he was asked to just speak to the rock. And he, in his anger, said, you rebels, so on. You're constantly rebelling against the Lord. And he struck it. Well, anyway, that's in us. Then there is this indolence. You know what that means? Laziness. There's an absence of diligence, of really applying myself. I ought to apply myself to these things. These things have eternal value, lasting value. There's an eternity before us. Oh, God wants to prepare us for eternity. I was thinking, I'm really, people talk about death or dying. And we only have so long to live and so on. Well, I'm not looking for death. I'm looking for life. Hallelujah. He has called us to eternal life. Life. How do you read the Scriptures? the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. For this corruptible must take on incorruption, because the corruptible cannot obtain eternal life. And then shall come to pass the saying, death is swallowed up of life. You understand? There's no more death for us. It's life. It's a promotion. Praise the Lord. What are we singing that song? We close our eyes here and open them in heaven. Lord Jesus, let's get acquainted with He who is our life. Jesus, in Him is life. Our life. And when He comes, we're going to be like Him, for we're going to see Him as He is. Praise the Lord. And so let me live and live and live and live and continue to live, but let me seize upon the opportunity. Make me wise unto salvation. Let me study the Word of God. And I'll take even from this. You ought to take something from this reading today. God is speaking by His Son and through His Word. Lord, help me to listen. Help me to be among the wise. Paul said to Timothy, you've been so fortunate because your mother Lois and your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, they have taught you from the Scriptures. They have the Scriptures that make you wise unto salvation. And so, search the Scriptures. Do something. Perhaps you ought to do something more than you are doing presently. Whatever. Make a diligent search. Like those in Berea, it says. And Paul was, he had left Thessalonica. They had driven him out. He went down to Berea. And he preached Christ to them. And they searched the Scriptures to find out whether these things were so. We have a right to do that. I mean, we ought to do that. And they believed. That was the result. They believed. So I want to take from this and ask the Lord to make me more diligent. I have that opportunity today. We have heard it said we can know Jesus better if we only give ourselves a chance. Let's seize upon the opportunity. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek His strength. Seek His face continually. And the other place where that is found in the 105th Psalm, seek His face continually. I understand that. I mean, I understand to seek His face. I want to please Him. I want to be accepted of Him every day. Every day. It doesn't mean that I please people. I want to please the Lord. You might say, well, oh, that was wonderful and so on. But was the Lord pleased? Was the Lord satisfied? My brother Arthur tells of a violinist who was performing in a concert, playing his violin, and his teacher was in the audience. So he played, I guess there were three times that he played, and the people applauded. But he was looking at his teacher, and his teacher was, that's no good. So he played some more, and he's, the people were applauding, and he's looking at his teacher. And then the third time, the teacher and the, he had now won the approval of his teacher. Well, I want to win the approval of Christ. And that brings me to another story that I'm going to sit down. One of our men, a Mexican, we Elizabeth Garansky, her father, a Mexican, he went to Mexico to visit his relatives. And one of his relatives said to him, you know, it's a few weeks yet and I'll make my first million. And then he said, what have you done with your life? Or what are you doing with your life? And you know, he said, I want to hear that, as the father said to Jesus, this is my son, with him I'm well pleased. With him I'm well pleased. He wanted to please the Lord. He wanted to please the Lord. Forget about making your millions. If we, what does it say? Gain the whole world and lose our own souls. Oh, that temptation is there. Let's seek the Lord. Diligently.
Dad, I was just wondering, what was the third? Did I miss the third thing there? We had obstinance, indolence, and...
Oh, yeah.
Resistance.
Routine. I'm sorry. Routine.
Routine.
Oh, when I go back home, it's going to be the same thing. It should not be the same. We're getting older. And things ought to change. What do you think? Are there things you feel that ought to be different? When you leave this place, and only the Holy Spirit can affect the change. So, obstinacy, indolence, and routine are contrary to our best interests and our desire to glorify the Lord.
So how do I respond to Jesus the King? Do I worship Him? Do I celebrate His birth, life, death, and resurrection? What do I bring to give Him? Do I give Him my best? Do I give Him my heart? Now if you're on staff and you have this little booklet with you, then you're going to take it out and we're going to sing together. Give me thy heart. If you don't have it, just listen to the message. Anyone have it? Give me thy heart. Whisper, wherever thou art. Brother Willie, pray with us, please.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you again for your love and care over us. Thank you for the privilege of being one with and one with you. That is your greatest desire. Truly give me thy heart. Lord, it is our desire over a closer walk with thee. So draw us all closer.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank you and praise for all your goodness and mercy. So we do commit ourselves into your care for this day. Keep your hands upon us and to truly draw us. Draw us closer unto thyself and by doing it. We thank and praise thee for it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now this morning we have a time of prayer till noon. If you'd like to just spend some time waiting on God, we'll be in the prayer room after this service. And then I'd just like you to keep in mind that this evening the villagers, Natick and Onantum, will be joining us for our service. So let's just expect that God will just work in our time together this evening and touch these boys and come to all of us. But let's come in faith and expect that God will meet them, meet us. So the Lord bless you today. And if you'd like to join us as long as you can, we'll be in the prayer room. God bless you.